You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Yes, hello everyone, a very warm welcome along to the William Hill Golf Podcast. Good to have you with us this week. Just the one event to take a look at. We've got the Alfred Dunhill Championship coming up on Thursday. Sam Norris here in the presenter's chair, joined once more by Dave Tindall on the line ahead of our sole event this week. Dave, how are you?
Well, I'm okay. I've got man flu a little bit, but there you go. No sympathies from anybody, I wouldn't expect, but hopefully my voice is clear enough to be heard.
Are you able to blame Dave Kellner for that? Because he wasn't very well last week.
Yeah, I forgot. I was thinking, where's this come from? And I was sat opposite him across the desk and he was probably coughing and spluttering my way. It's always him, isn't it? Always him.
Absolutely.
The root of all evil.
Indeed. He's got a week off this week to recover.
Again? Was that illness?
Well, I think this was a...
Hopefully.
A pre-planned week off, but I think it's coincided with his illness.
Right.
So I'm sure he'll be resting up and no doubt listening to us this week. I say we've only got the one event this week, Dave. There are a couple of events taking place, but not too many household names in the opposite event really this week.
No, there's some other events, aren't there, around the world. We've got the Casio World Open in Japan. We've got a New South Wales Open on the Australasian Tour. Sometimes you get the big names popping up. And probably being paid vast sums of money to go and play those events, but not really this week. And then next week, it should have been the Hong Kong Open, of course, but obviously there's problems in the region and social unrest, so we've not got that one. But there is Mauritius Open next week on the European Tour, and then we've got Tigers events. So golf still keeps coming, even at this time of year.
Yeah, it's slowing down, but we've still got a little bit to go at. We'll start with a recap on last week then, I suppose, starting with the Tour Championship as well, won by Jon Rahm, sealing victory in the race to Dubai in the process as well, emulating, of course, fellow Spaniard Sergio Ballesteros in the process. Hard to believe that he needed a birdie putt on the final hole to clinch it. If you saw the start of his final round, I think 5-under through 7, but Tommy Fleetwood pushed him all the way down the back nine, which left him needing that birdie. And it was a shot worthy of winning any prize, and this one obviously a substantial winner's check.
Yeah, the way that day unfolded, you thought, this could go a number of ways. McIlroy's in there, and Mike Lorenzo Vera's been great all week. And then Rahm just started holding putts from like ridiculous distances. And before you know it, he's 5-6 shots clear and Twitter's sort of full of, oh, this is a damp squib. I'm looking forward to this. And, it was just one-way traffic. And Rahm does do that. He can demolish fields. And you think, on the Sky commentary, they were saying he's so sort of, such a beast. He'll be thinking, I can win this by 9 or 10. And then, I guess even for someone like him, a big lead, you make a little mistake here and there, and suddenly you open the door a little bit for the field, and then Fleetwood made a charge. Lorenzo Vera was still in there coming up the last. So in the end, you had to get up and down from sand to win $5 million, I think, if you add in the race to Dubai money. So how would you be in a bunker, Sam, with $5 million on the line? I don't think I'd do so well, to be honest.
No, I struggle to get out of a bunker for £5 on the line. Never mind.
I'm the same.
Never mind $5 million.
I don't know. When I'm watching, I'm just thinking, what if he sort of like just doesn't get out, or just something ridiculous? And nope, absolute pro. Nerves of steel, ice in the veins, and he just chips it out, knocks in the putt, and thank you very much. So. Brilliant from Jon Rahm. I mean, I must admit, I was in the McIlroy camp last week. I don't know what Rory just was so subdued on the final day. It was disappointing. And I think with Rahm, he'd not played for 6 weeks. And then I'd read some quotes. He said he's not even picked up a club. And you think, well, surely there'll be some level of rust. And yet he just goes out and does that. So you're always learning as sort of when you know, I've been sort of looking at golf for years and still I get sort of swayed a little bit by, you can't have 6 weeks off and come and win a big event like this. Well, you can.
Absolutely.
You've got to sort of take that in still.
Yeah, indeed. What did you make of Rory McIlroy overall? As you said, it was a disappointing final day. I mean, he was the only man in the sort of top 10 or 12 players to card an over par round on that final day. But coming into the final day, he was in with every chance. It was just a bizarre Sunday for McIlroy.
Well, it's a really odd week. If you look at the basic scores, he was brilliant on Thursday, then was a bit awful on Friday, came straight back into it Saturday with another low one, and then was just nowhere Sunday. If you were trying to kind of find the logic of it, I think on the days he struggled, the wind picked up. And I think even though he has performed in the wind, I still think if you want McIlroy to win in the desert, you want absolute sunshine and little wind, and then I think he's almost unbeatable. But if you add, you know, some gusts into the mix, I think that's kind of his kryptonite. So even though you're thinking, why is he sort of brilliant one day and bad the next, I think that's probably why. I mean, overall, I think his irons weren't dialed in enough. He was driving it well, putting well, but his irons just weren't there. So, but all that, you can sort of pick fault in his game. He still came fourth, and that's, I think, something like his seventh top five in that event. So he's still brilliant in that event, but I think for him to have his absolute peak conditions, I think you just need that wind to lie down.
Yeah, indeed. On to the other event as well that we had last week. It was a maiden PGA Tour victory for Tyler Duncan in the RSM Classic, who overcame Webb Simpson in a playoff. Not for the first time this season, actually, Dave. We see a player win on tour when their actual tour card itself was in jeopardy not too long ago. I'm sure this is not the first example of a player who only just saved the tour card a few months ago, and now all of a sudden he's got a maiden title on the PGA Tour.
Yeah, I just think there must be some element of kind of, you know, you've had this reprieve and everything's like a bit of a free hit. And
yeah,
especially when it's still this kind of side of Christmas, you're just thinking, I'm just lucky to be out there. So he's probably gone in there thinking, yeah, I can just kind of freewheel this week. And I mean, it did look for a while, didn't it, like Brendan Todd would pull off that ridiculous three-timer.
Incredible run of form he's in.
Yeah, become the first man to win three events in a row since Tiger Woods. I mean, you know, Tiger Woods, Brendan Todd, there's not a lot of common ground there, is there?
But I can tell you which one would have been the pointless answer if they'd have both pulled it off.
Exactly. And it was just kind of, yeah, I read his quotes on Saturday night. He went into a two-shot lead and he said he was just like, it was like playing a video game. He had that much control on the ball. It was just like, you know, press, hit button, drive straight. I think he missed one fairway over the first three rounds, which is just kind of bonkers. And then, I don't know, maybe the golfing gods just thought, no, can't be doing this. Can't be winning three times if you're a Brendan Todd. And I don't know. The interesting thing from here is, what is this, a complete purple patch, or will he contend in some good events next year? And will his price quickly be pushed out? You know, and does he offer us an opportunity? Because sometimes with players like that, the market does revert quite quickly and you'll suddenly see him back out to 50s and 66s, etc. So will he still carry some of this form over? So I'm just going to keep a close eye on him next year.
Yeah, because it was a little bit of a surprise to see him. Obviously, after the first win, he then went off at a triple-figure price again for the second event in that sequence, which was a little bit surprising off the back of a win that he was to go off three figures again.
Yeah, exactly. I know a couple of people have backed him on the grounds that, well, he's just won one, so why should it be three figures? And he was even a decent price this week. It's just that feeling that he can't, can he? But again, thinking about my own sort of golf strategies, I'm a definite guilty of doing that. I remember way back, like 20 years ago, when Mark O'Meara, 1998, he'd won the Masters, and then he was in great form and a great course form for the Open at Birkdale. And I thought, well, he can't win two majors, can he? And that feeling was kind of the overriding feeling. I put more importance in that than the fact that he was in great form and coming to a course he loved. And now he just goes and win the Open as well. And I'm thinking, well, that can't have happened. And yet it did. So again, have I learned anything in 21 years, Sam? I'm not sure.
That is the question. It is weird in sport how we kind of turn positives into negatives like that when you're looking at betting someone, because as you say, in inverted commas, they can't win again. But really,
whereas you should really be thinking they've now got this extra layer of confidence that they've just won a big one. But yeah, I mean, if, obviously in football, Leicester couldn't have won the Premier League, and they did. I mean, I was very late to the party thinking they were going to actually win it. I think they had to be mathematically clear before. I thought, yeah, they're probably going to win this now.
Yeah, I still don't believe they can win it now. And it's two years in the past or however long it is. Before we turn our attention on to this week as well, some success for the podcast picks last week as well. You got, albeit a partial place, with Scotty Scheffler in the RSM Classic, who finished tied fifth. And DK had a near miss with Tom Lewis as well in the Tour Championship, who finished just outside the placings, tied sixth. So well done with Scotty Scheffler, Dave, albeit it wasn't a full place. You've had your stake sliced and diced, rather.
Yeah. He never quite got up there. It's kind of, he's probably nearest the finish, so I'll sort of take a little bit of profit there. Well, not profit as such, but a little bit of a return.
Yes. On to the Alfred Dunhill Championship then, which is the only event we're going to focus on this week. Not to be confused with the Alfred Dunhill Links Championship, which is something very different entirely. Because I did think at first, this isn't the usual spot in the calendar for this event, but that's because it's a completely different one. It takes us to Leopard Creek in South Africa. The course measurements are placed to a par of 72, measuring in at 7,287 yards. We'll get on to the field and the betting in just a moment. But want to start with the fact that whilst this isn't an absolutely stellar field, this is a great golf course, Dave.
Yeah, I mean, it's one for the fans of wildlife, because you see all the animals wandering around. You normally get Tony Johnson on the TV explaining what they do and everything. So, yeah, visually it looks absolutely beautiful. And the weather, I think I looked at the forecast, I think it's going to tip 100 degrees at some point. So while we sort of shiver in chilly Britain, we can look over there and admire the views and the sun.
Yeah, indeed. Very, very picturesque golf course. We are paying five places each way this week at a quarter of the odds. And the share of betting is as follows. The 12-1 favourite is Christian Bezuidenhout this week. It's 16-1 for Brandon Grace. Charles Schwartzel is in the betting at 16-1. Eddie Pepperell, 16-1. Brandon Stone is 18-1. George Curtsey in the betting at 18-1. 22-1 for Ross Fisher. 25-1. And bigger prices for the rest of them. We previewed a South African event a couple of weeks ago, and I noted that it hadn't gone to a South African for a little while, but this event is totally different. David Lipsky's win last year ended a run of six straight wins in this event for South African players. Brandon Stone, Brandon Grace, Charles Schwartzel have all won here. They're all toward the top of the betting once again. And it's very much a domination from the home team at the top of the market.
Yeah, I've certainly noted that trend. For this tournament, I've got two picks and they're both South African, so I'm certainly playing into it. The other thing as well, is kind of trends-wise, there's been a theme in these sort of later in the year podcasts that we look at the top of the market, because I haven't quite worked out why, but the top end of the market does seem to hold the key at this time of the year. If you look at last week, you got John Rahm, he was second favourite, 13-2. Webb Simpson was the big favourite in America, just got done in a playoff. Even in the Dunlop Phoenix, Hugo Imahira, who won there, I think he was in the top four or five in the betting. So I think as much as you can look for fancy places, and there will be one or two that get in there, I think that you're very, very justified for looking at towards the front end of the market. And if you look at the past winners here as well, you've just reeled off those well-known South Africans. So I think however you could sort of come at it, I think a big name South African towards the front of the betting, there's plenty of logic to do that.
Absolutely, yeah. There's plenty to choose from, with the exception of Eddie Pepperell. The first few in the betting are all South Africans. So start us off with your first pick then here, Dave.
Yeah, I'll quickly roll out the couple that I'm going to overlook in order. Christian Bezuidenhout, has had a fantastic year. I think he finished 18th on the race to Dubai. It's just 12-1, a little bit skinny, I think. His course form isn't that great. I know he's come on a lot this year, but he's not really got anything to sort of get your teeth into course form-wise. So I thought 12-1 was a little bit skinny. Brandon Grace has been in woeful form for most of the year, so I think I can pass him by. He's 16s. And Schwartzel is kind of the course horse, perhaps the most extreme example of a course horse you're going to get any event, to be honest. He's won four times, finished runner-up four times. But he's not played competitively since April. He's had a wrist injury, so he's only... there was a Golf Digest column saying he'd been playing practice rounds since October. But I think it's asking a lot, however much he likes the course, for him to come out completely, you know, not match sharp to win this. So I'm going to wipe those three out. They could, any of them could win a course, but I think there's enough doubts there for me. So the first one I stop at is Brandon Stone. I just think he's got a fantastic event in his home country. He's a two-time winner. We first saw him win the South African Open. And then we thought, oh, this kid's for real. And then he won this event with 21 under a couple of years ago. He's had three goes at Leopard Creek, 18th, 1st and 15th. And the 15th last year is actually better than it looks, because he shot 76 in the final round. So, you know, a better Sunday, and that would have been a much higher finish. But you just go through his South African form and it's rock solid. And I think because of the extreme heat this week, he's got, you know, it's not unusual South African weather. It's just going to be nice stuff that he's grown up with. And then current form, he had a bit of a bad trot across the summer, missed lots of cuts, and that kind of bled into August and September. But we saw him finish 26th in the Open de France. Again, really good first 54 holes. And then we saw him finish runner-up on his last start in the Portugal Masters when he shot four nice rounds, 366s and a 70. So I think he's got everything I want this week. He's got some nice current form. He's got bang on course form, and he's always good in South Africa. So he's my first pick, Brandon Stone at 18-1.
Yeah, 18s for Brandon Stone, then the first choice. Just before we get on to your second pick, Dave, I like the fact that earlier on in the podcast you were talking about what have you learned over the course of the last 20 years. Discounted John Rahm last week because of the layoff. Straight in this week, Schwartzel line through. He's been off too long.
Yeah, well,
what have you learned in a week, Dave?
I think 6 weeks is different to 6 months. That's that's my defence. Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, if he wins, I mean, I can't off the top of my head think of anybody with that long a layoff who's come out and won straight away. I think that would be maybe if listeners can think of an example, and you know, tweet me about it. But I can't think of anyone who's had such a long break and has won off the bat.
Yeah.
I mean, you saw people, it's certainly one to sort of look at after a while. People like Bernd Wiesberg had a long time off, maybe 9 months, and he was terrible to come back with, and then suddenly caught fire and won three times. But to win first time, even though it is on this course, I'm not having it, Sam.
Okay.
I'm not having it.
Okay. As you say, if he's going to do it anywhere, there's a good chance it's going to be here at Leopard Creek.
And he might have a few good rounds, but to win it at 16-1, to be backing him to win after such a long break, I'd want more than 16s, I think.
Fair enough. The second selection, then, I'm presuming one at a bigger price.
Only just a bigger price, okay. Though. So again, a South African, an informed South African. It's Xander Lombard, who's my other pick. 22-1. Again, he's got that really sort of nice mix of course and current form. The course form, there were some changes to this course ahead of last year's renewal. They changed some of the grass to Bermuda, and they kind of changed the bunkering a little bit. So I think form from last year is maybe just worth a little bit more, because it shows, you know, the players can do it on this new layout. And of all the South Africans, he was the best of them. He finished third, Xander Lombard, 71 on the first day, and then he really got going with 69 68 69. He was just three shots off the winner, David Lipsky, so really good performance there. And then this year we've seen him pop up plenty of times. He was ninth in the Irish Open, that was a really good knock, started with a 64 there. Then he was 11th in the Czech Masters, played well in Sweden as well after that. And then really he's come to attention the last couple of months. He was seventh in the Open de Spain, then 17th in the Turkish Airlines Open. And then he had his big week, didn't he, in the Nedbank Golf Challenge back in there in South Africa, his homeland, just a couple of weeks ago. He was the halfway leader. And you thought, wow, this is going to be a bit of a turn-up. But didn't quite get it done in the end. He finished eighth. And it looks on paper, you look at his weekend score, 72, 77. It looks like he just kind of couldn't handle it. But again, if you'd watched that, he was so unlucky that you know, over that weekend, especially the final round, just kept getting lip outs, just the ball didn't go his way. And he came off the course not thinking the world was against him. He just came off the course and said, I've played great. He's playing great. So it's really, you know, that week wasn't one to knock his confidence. That was one to really kind of enhance his confidence. So I think this quick turnaround, this, you know, the European Tour starting straight away to get an event back in South Africa, I think really opens the door for him to ride that momentum that he got from the Nedbank. And I think 22-1 on a course where he finished last year, I'm happy to have a dabble each way there.
Xander Lombard then at 22-1. Yeah, and as you say, this is in effect the start of a brand new European Tour season. They don't get much of an off season, do they, in between the two tours?
No, they don't. Well, last year, I know it said it was week or tournament 47 out of 47. So that was like a 5-week break. Even then you think, well, I can't even remember when those breaks were. But yeah, they keep them going. But obviously, even though it is officially a new season, I think obviously for someone who's just been playing, I think it's hard to really distinguish between the two, isn't it? So in terms of Lombard, some of the others who are in form, they can just carry that over straight away.
Any others you'd like to mention before we wrap up, Dave?
Well, there's a load of kind of guys who've just been playing on the Challenge Tour who've come here with new European Tour cards who should be in good spirits. Francesco Laporta, he won the Grand Final, Challenge Tour Grand Final over there in Spain. So he's, you know, he's in great spirits, but 35-1, just kind of, it's, well, yeah, the market's found him, I think. Adrian Maronk, the Pole, a Pole playing golf. We don't get many of those. I think he's the first one to win a European Tour card.
Right.
So he's in great form, 60-1. Matthew Jordan, we saw him play really well in the Alfred Dunhill Lynx Championship. That's the different one, obviously. He, again, finished the season strong, but again, 35-1. There's a number of them who've, you know, got all the incentive and the confidence, but I think just the market is fully aware of them. And it is a bit different going to South Africa, just given the grass types and everything. So, and their lack of kind of course form compared to some of the locals who've played the course a number of times. So even now, I kind of respect some of the guys' chances who are the Europeans who are coming over. I still think the safer bet is to go with the home players.
Okay, then, Brandon Stone and Xander Lombard, the two choices. How do you bet that pair this week, Dave?
Yeah, the shortish prices, so I'm going to have a decent stake on each. I'm going to go 1.5 each way on both. So that's 1.5 each way on Brandon Stone at 18-1 and 1.5 each way on Xander Lombard at 22-1.
Good stuff. The each way terms on the Alfred Dunhill Championship this week are a quarter of the odds placed, 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. To check out the wide variety of betting on the William Hill website, of course, we've got all the other events priced up for you as well this week. It's the Hero World Tour event next week, isn't it, Dave?
Yeah, some big names in that. Mm. John Rahm's playing. I think we got the odds on the website already. I think we have.
I think we do, actually. I think just off the top of my head, is he 11-2 favourite? Or 11-2 John Rahm, 7-1 Justin Thomas, Patrick Cantlay 9-1, 11's Tiger Woods, 12-1 Dustin Johnson, 12-1 Xander Schauffele, 14's Justin Rose and Ricky Fowler, Webb Simpson 14-1. It's a good field.
It's a brilliant field, isn't it? I mean, you get down, the absolute complete outsider is two-time Masters winner Bubba Watson.
Yeah.
That is some field. So, yeah, really look forward to that one.
Definitely. We'll hear Dave's thoughts on that event next week. But for this week, enjoy your betting on the event in South Africa and, indeed, if you are playing further afield. Dave, thank you very much for that. We'll speak again soon.
Yeah, thank you, Sam. Cheers.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.